Welcome into K-State Online. I'm Mason Voth, joined by Drew Galloway. Time for a weekly recruiting update for you. Because of the way things have transpired this week, we're going to put two of them together. You're getting football and basketball in one spot this week. And we'll start on the football front because we talked about it yesterday, but K-State landed LaMarcus Barber from Mill Valley. So they have their first in-state commit of the class of 2026. It is the second overall commitment. But we also know, and you alluded to it yesterday, K-State in the thick of it with DJ Ackerson, a linebacker out of the state of Oklahoma. He announced that his final three, K-State, Oklahoma State, and Tulsa. In the video that people were supposed to see on Tuesday, discussed that, like, hey, Tulsa's legit in this, but you still feel like K-State and Oklahoma State are the top two. And in addition to that, I think you're starting to get the vibe that K-State might have the edge in the top spot.
Yeah, I think that it is a legitimate top three with Tulsa being the top three, but I can't see a world where K-State and Oklahoma State both want him and he goes to Tulsa instead. And then you dive into it a little bit more and just kind of, if you look at the vibes of kind of how his recruitment has kind of transpired, what he has said post visits for both, in the update that I wrote on KSO, you kind of get the sense that K-State's probably in the driver's seat. He said that K-State showed a lot more attention to him on the visit, which did help that it was a practice, but I think that that's still something that even if K-State had him at a spring game like Oklahoma State did, they would have kind of gone out of their way to make it a priority because they like going and talking to everybody that's there. And it's kind of similar vibes to kind of a little bit how he felt after he visited Oklahoma. I know that when Oklahoma has offered him too, and he went on a visit there in the spring and told some people about how he just didn't really feel wanted at Oklahoma, and like they kind of both kind of decided to go their separate ways. So I'm kind of interpreting this as a little bit kind of like that, where he goes to Oklahoma State, doesn't really feel like he's wanted as much as he was at K-State literally the day before, because he was at K-State April 17th and 18th, went to Oklahoma State the 19th. And then sometimes you kind of get that vibe of, okay, he's announcing like that he's going to make a decision soon, like right after visiting a school. He must be going to that school. I don't necessarily think that that's the case here, because I think that just with what all kind of transpired at K-State, because he was there for 2 days on an unofficial visit and then going to Oklahoma State, might have kind of opened his eyes about like that K-State just kind of wants him more than Oklahoma State. Kind of a similar thing to, if you remember last cycle, which feels like a lifetime ago, Weston Polk actually committed to K-State on his way home from a TCU visit because of the same thing. So with that, you kind of are like, huh, is that going to happen again here? And I think that it could.
Yeah, that's a good reminder on that one. You're right. It does feel like that was a while ago, because it was about this time last year that Weston Polk did that. He was an April commitment for K-State last season. So in addition to Ackerson, who will be happening sometime in the near future, he hasn't said an actual date, but he's alluded to it in a couple of different ways. Hey, it's coming in the near future. What else is there on the K-State football recruiting front for people to keep in mind, really, until probably things get into June and official visit season now?
Yeah, I think that the number one thing to know isn't even really like necessarily K-State related, because the On3 released some new rankings today and yesterday, re-ranking the 2026 class already. If you look at what K-State has coming on official visits, there's a lot of really, really talented kids in it. Ashton Roden is one. He's in the top 200. That's DJ Giddens' cousin, a running back from Texas. Tucker Ashford is now an industry-ranked four-star. Savorian Martin is also an industry-ranked four-star. Those are both guys coming in on official visits coming up. So if you look at all of that, and K-State's in a good spot with, I think, all three of them, then you have Ian Premer, who's still settling in around that like 25th range. We think that K-State's making a little bit more of a surge, and it's still kind of that one team that's been talked about the most out of every team in his recruitment. With how small this class could be, you think that this class could still be ranked pretty similar, if not maybe a touch higher, because you might have a little bit more top-end talent if they land a lot of these guys that are coming in on official visits, which obviously is a good thing.
Yeah. I would encourage people to go and check it out right now. Helpful that you can go to look at all the visits upcoming, and the profiles are just right there. So you can get some insight into all those guys rather quickly. And you're right. Some serious bumps for guys that K-State is looking to be in the mix for right now. And we'll keep everybody updated on that on the football side. Now, in terms of basketball, there is transfer portal news there, because we kept kind of talking about, man, you know, K-State, they're going to be lacking on space for guys that can actually make them better in spots that they need. Well, some of that started to sort itself out because some other guys ended up in the transfer portal. And it's happened once again. News coming Monday night that C.J. Jones was going in. So K-State has now lost Buddy Rich, Doug McDaniel, Yagana Nyenso, by fall, Brendan Hausen, C.J. Jones to the portal. It leaves them with, as it currently stands, 7 open roster spots. K-State will probably only use 5 of them, but we know K-State has some spots that they need to fill in. What can you tell people about the CJ Jones departure, and if it means anything substantial for K-State?
To be honest, I don't really think it means a whole lot. It's kind of not to the same extent, because I do think that CJ Jones was better last year, but it's kind of like Yagana Nyenso. Like, CJ Jones was a guy that wasn't irreplaceable. And I know that there was a lot of talk about continuity, and like we've kind of hit on it a little bit, just talking about how you can't preach continuity and then have all this happen. Well, now that continuity is out the window, K-State doesn't really gain a whole lot from bringing CJ Jones back. So for me, that it makes a lot more sense now to like mutually part ways and kind of go away from each other, because what's the point of bringing CJ Jones back? It's kind of like what we were talking about before the offseason even began, of like, you can't just bring people back just for the continuity's sake. They have to be good players.
Yeah. That's the reason why good teams have continuity, is because they have good players that do good things. So of course you're going to keep them.
Oh, 100%. And like that is why, like, this move for me, like, it doesn't move the needle one way or the other. Like, I was kind of thinking that this was going to happen as soon as Doug McDaniel entered the portal, because there was no reason to then bring CJ Jones back, who probably at best would have been maybe like your 7th or 8th guy.
Yeah.
If you get the guys that you want. And I think that you can replace that pretty easily and probably get even a better player, because CJ Jones was a pretty flawed player. I mean, he didn't really want to defend, even though he had the length to defend. He couldn't really shoot. He couldn't really get to the basket. But other than that, like, he was okay.
Yeah, you've laid out a really encouraging case for CJ Jones. So, yeah, look, roster continuity to me, it's a lot like people that stay in marriages that should probably just be a divorce, you know? It's probably not going to get any better for you. If you already hate this person, staying married is probably not going to solve your problems there. So keeping the continuity there, like, you're probably still going to hate each other 2 months from now, just like you do today. You should probably just move on, get this thing figured out. It doesn't do you any good to keep guys just to keep guys. Like, there has to be value in keeping them. And I said it with the Doug McDaniel thing when people brought it up. If Doug McDaniel didn't enter the transfer portal, it was a good sign for K-State, because it would have meant that Doug McDaniel was bought in. He was ready to help. I think he would have given you some better consistent play next season. But I said, if he does enter the portal, he did you a massive favor, because it shows that, no, he wasn't down for what was going to be coming his way.
And he also instantly took his stuff to like a place that it's about to be sold. So he definitely was not ready to play next year.
And then I think with like CJ Jones, he's a guy that could have had a spot on next year's team, but you just don't know what it's going to be. And guys like that, you can't guarantee something to, because CJ Jones isn't that type of player. So if they don't want to be here for that role, nobody's hurt by it. You move on. It's doing you a service if you're Jerome Tang in K-State, because now you can go out and find more guys that actually fit what you need and might be players of a higher caliber to make you better. So it's another one of those that's just not a meaningful loss to K-State. But when you preach roster continuity, this is where it's just like a lot of messages getting changed on the fly for this staff. And that's the one spot where you might get a little concerned about, are they going to be able to put this train back on the tracks? Because they seem to be so scatterbrained with what is it that's going to make us good again. And, you know, one day it's roster continuity. The next it's, hey, we got to blow this thing up again. Like, we've seen the blow it up. We've seen the get them to stick together. And I think you have to pick one and stick with it. And the wise one would have been, hey, these guys weren't good enough this year. There were serious concerns about what they could do and buy in, not just for like the team and like the coaching staff, but really just for their other players. Like, I think there were a lot of guys that weren't down for the team concept. I think they were just more like, what I got to do to make myself look good, and maybe we'll be good along the way. This team is in a better spot now because these guys are leaving, just because it gives you the opportunity to improve. It doesn't mean K-State's going to be better, though, but you needed this to happen to have any chance of being a good basketball team next year.
And that, I think, just kind of highlights the overarching point that we've had throughout most of this offseason, where like the year to have good roster continuity was probably like last offseason and not this one. And where if next year is better, which, Lord, I hope so, but if next year is better, like, you're going to want to bring guys like Nate Johnson and Abdi Bashir back. You know, that is the kind of roster continuity that you want to have. If your team is good and you're losing guys, that's more the issue than I think if your team is bad and losing guys.
Yeah.
Although, like, last year,
Nate Johnson probably won't have eligibility.
Well,
although who knows?
I was about to say, but who knows? Because you never know in this day and age. But that's where like an overarching kind of point of continuity for continuity's sake. Last year, we poked fun at them during last offseason. Like, Cincinnati could have probably afforded to lose a guy or two that they didn't really need to try and upgrade.
Yeah.
Like, last year, they brought everybody back, and they got improvements from other guys, but some guys regressed, and they probably would have wished that they would have had a roster spot to upgrade.
Yeah, they're the perfect example of it. Like, if you keep together the same guys that were average, they're probably going to be average next year. Nothing changed in Cincinnati's situation this year. It was the same coach, the same players. They're probably going to give you the same result, and they did. So I think that's one of those deals where the good teams have it because, well, they've got good players. We're going to keep them around. Like, they fit. This is so much more about, obviously, talent, but then within that, just – a personality fit. I think it's so important now in college basketball, because as we saw, K-State had the right personalities in year one of Jerome Tang. None of those guys had ever played for Jerome Tang before. So it was essentially like the entire team were transfers, and they were really, really good. It didn't matter that they all were first year at K-State, first year playing for Jerome Tang. We've seen now the last 2 years, it hasn't worked out. And why is that? Well, I think you don't have some of the guys that can glue it together a little bit better with their personality. And you don't have enough guys that know and play their role well. And I think you have some guys that know their role but can't play it well. And I think you had other guys that didn't know their role and were trying to do something else. And that's a problem. So K-State now has the opportunity to go out, look for some more guys. We know that, you know, it'd be nice for them to still get a guard that you trust to be your number one in terms of positionally, not necessarily you don't need him to be your top scorer. A big would be nice, a competent big, and that is like legit down there, not just – they've got a lot of tweeners right now where you're like, well, you're probably looking at a bunch of 6'8 guys trying to figure out the five. I know as we're recording this, I saw Baba Miller from Florida Atlantic's in the portal. Again, that was someone K-State took a run at last year when he was transferring from Florida State. Maybe that's somewhere they go. They're looking around in many different areas. Jordan Ross is a name that's been thrown around, a guard from St. Mary's this past year. So there are a lot of names still out there. And we know that the international opportunities are still there. Elias Rapiake and Andre Kostic seem to be the two biggest names that you need to be aware of if you're a K-State fan. If they were to get those two guys, then this is a solid-looking team on paper. Based on what you would project guys to do. And then it'd be nice if they could add, you know, probably two more guys at least in the transfer portal that you say, okay, I can see how those guys would see the field in a significant way and help us next season. But again, I'm not trying to sell anybody false goods here. They can do a lot of good things in the portal this offseason. It's still going to be approached with a lot of skepticism by me. And I still have that right now when I look at the roster where I go, yeah, they're maybe better from a certain standpoint and they've gotten some good additions, but they don't have anything that really ties it together yet. Like I look at, they haven't done anything for me to take my stance differently on the Kamari McGriff situation where I go, I think that's a good pickup for somebody. It doesn't feel like a good one for K-State right now. That can change. You know, Abdi Bashir, like there's a road where that doesn't work out very well. And Nate Johnson, there's a road where that doesn't work out very well. Like they've done some good things, but they're walking a tightrope right now.
Yeah. And you get a couple more pieces. You get the international guys, which I'm starting to lean that I'm not sure if we're ever going to get like a definitive like post for the international guys until they're on campus. That's going to be my next guess. But it's a little bit easier right now to at least squint and see, okay, we kind of have an idea of what this could be now.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a path to it. It's not well lit. It's got some cracks in it. It needs to be fixed up a little bit, but it's there, you know,
somebody's at least was not there.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just walking around in a bunch of dirt roads and stuff, but there is some pavement now for K-State basketball. We'll see if they're able to improve it anymore. So that's what we got on the recruiting update front for you right now. Before we get out of here, reminder to go to cats2ireland.com if you're still trying to get yourself over to the Emerald Isle to watch K-State and Iowa State in the 2025 Aer Lingus College Football Classic, exactly 4 months away from kickoff of this game over there. And some news just yesterday, TCU will be the third Big 12 school in 2 years to go over there. They will be moving their home game against North Carolina next season to the Aer Lingus College Football Classic. So back-to-back years, the Big 12 will be featured in Week Zero's premier game. And again, if you want to be there, experience this in the best way possible. Every step of the way, cats2ireland.com. has you covered. Drew, Ireland fun fact before we leave.
I got a little short fun fact for today, and it's more about actually the Aer Lingus College Football Classic. The highest attended game was in 2023 between Notre Dame and Navy. 49,000 people there, with 39,000 from the U.S. and then 8,000 from Ireland, and it says 1,063 from other parts of the world. So I don't know where the other parts of the world are. But I'm going to venture that K-State Iowa State does not get to 49,000.
You don't think so?
I'm going to take a pretty educated guess on that.
I don't know. I think the Aer Lingus people seem to be pretty optimistic about the numbers that are being produced here. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say, no, I'm not going to do that. But I think you'll be surprised. I think it could approach. That is a large number. The stadium holds just over 51,000.
I think it'll be well attended, but Notre Dame has a bigger fan base than K-State and Iowa State put together.
Well, yeah, true. But how many of those people actually have the means to, you know, go watch them play? I know a lot of people that consider themselves Notre Dame fans. I don't know that they're, you know, they never went to Notre Dame. I don't know that they're going to fund their way to Ireland to watch them play.
I still think that they probably had more people there.
Yeah, they probably did. We'll see, though. I think you're underestimating the unification of K-State and Iowa State fans here, though. Because, I mean, how many people do you think Navy brought to the game?
Probably like 3,000 or 4,000 compared to Notre Dame.
Yeah. I mean, so, I don't know. I'm sure ticket insider Scott Wildcat has some knowledge on this that he'll probably DM me or something after he hears this and be like, here's why Drew's right and or you're wrong or vice versa. But we'll get out of here. That'll do it for us today. Tomorrow is April 24th. Is the NFL draft starting tomorrow? Next week?
Yeah, your daughter's being born on the first round of the NFL draft.
Wow, I'll play the ESPN jingle when she gets yanked out on Thursday. Yeah, I will be having my second kid Thursday morning, so I will be out for a little bit. We have a pre-recorded show that will go live sometime during the day on Thursday. It's me, Drew, the previously mentioned Scott Wildcat, and KSU fan talking KSU logos over history. So that was a fun show. A visual one. So if you're listening to the podcast, you're gonna have to suck it up and go watch the YouTube. I mean, you could. I guess I can put it up and you can listen to it, but you're gonna be disappointed when you're not able to actually see the logos. So I would go and watch that. But we'll have that, and then you know we'll see what else comes out while I am dealing with a little stay in the hospital with a newborn, and then back home. And all the fun that entails. So we'll get out of here. Back again sometime. If news breaks, you know where to go. It's not right here for the time being. You have to go to the physical website, get to kstateonline.com, sign up over at On3. If you're not, get your access to the inside info, premium message boards, and a whole lot more. And plenty of good coverage on K-State and the transfer portal. And if DJ Ackerson decides to commit to K-State, while I'm away, you'll have the full coverage there as well. We're out of here. Talk to you again sometime.